It's going to be hard for me to get through this now, because you're here. But earlier this week, I don't know if you remember or not, but Sister Betty gave me a call. To encourage me. And she did. And through that encouragement, it was one of the things that helped me prepare this lesson. Because this is the manner of the kingdom. And how the Lord has placed the members in the body as it pleased Him. And that we all have this ministry one to another. And Paul, the apostle, was revealing this truth from early on. And so I was going to thank the Lord for you in absentee when you're not here, but now I want to thank the Lord in your presence for your encouragement that you gave to me, not only this week, but throughout our time of fellowshipping together. So, and it's not just for Sister Betty as well, it's for all you brethren. And that's what we're going to talk about today as we begin the first epistle of Paul.
You know, that's kind of what we talked about today on the phone, because I read out of chapter 3 to her. I said, "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when we see one another and you look at one of us and we're in a stressful time or something's troubling us and we see your faith, it helps us.
Amen.
Amen.
To go on. So that's what I told her. When I look at her and I see her faith, it helps me to press on.
Amen. Amen.
And that's a great value that we have that the Lord Jesus has given us in the saints.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's going to be the direction we're going to begin with tonight as Paul opens up this epistle to the church in Thessalonica. We had looked at Acts chapter 17 and how the Lord moved the apostle Paul into this area of Macedonia to where these ones had called unto the Lord for help. And the apostle Paul came and helped them through the preaching of the gospel. And began these churches. What I want to speak about tonight is that the Apostle Paul's manner was not just to begin a church, although the Lord did use him to build these churches, to begin these churches. But he didn't just leave it at that. He was one who continued to minister to these ones as often a manner as he could and in whatever manner he could. So the writing of epistles to these assemblies was one of the means by which he would establish and build up and strengthen the people of God. So he begins this epistle in this manner: Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we begin here, I want to take a look at a couple of things to consider in this, and one of them is being the purpose. What is the purpose for the apostle writing not only this epistle but all the epistles? And we will see from the very beginning of this epistle to its end these epistles are not just a letter of keeping up or keeping in touch with one another. There's more involved than just finding out what everybody else is doing and how your lives are going on. It has more to do with what the God of heaven is doing.
Amen.
And what His Son, Jesus Christ, the exalted Christ, is doing. What the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is engaged in. And what the Holy Spirit that He's given to each of the brethren, what is He working in each and every one of the saints? What we're seeing here is in one of the this purpose that God has purposed in Christ Jesus being eternal purpose is that of building His church. This is what the exalted Christ is engaged in. I will say to this very day, He is building His church.
Amen.
Amen.
And all the members of the Godhead are engaged in it. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And he's going to open up this even more so. The saints are involved in this as well. People are involved in this divine working.
Mm-hmm.
The people of God are involved in this divine working. But like, again, he's talking about a building project, if you will. And as a building project, there is, the church does have a chief cornerstone. And the church has a foundation. And the church has building materials. But in this church that Jesus is building, all of these are people.
Mm-hmm.
It's all people. At the beginning, the builder and maker is God himself. The head of the corner, the chief cornerstone, is Christ Jesus himself.
Amen.
And the foundation by which flows the foundation from the chief cornerstone is the apostles and the prophets. These and the building stones are the people of God. As a living stone, as lively stones, they are built up a spiritual house unto God. All of this building of the church has to do with people. God is using his people. And in another unique part of this building project is the stones not only comprise the building itself, the stones are used by God to help and build other stones, other ones up. So this is a unique building that Jesus is building, and he's building it in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the people of God, and he's building it. He has built it because there's a chief cornerstone, Christ Jesus himself. There is a foundation of the apostles and prophets, and now the living and lively stones are being built on that very solid foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the things I'd like us to consider as we begin this epistle. And again, it was founded in the book of Acts in chapter 17 that we talked about. But we want to see what as we consider these events in the book of Acts, that we're witnessing the workings of the exalted Christ according to the will and eternal purpose of Almighty God, through the power of the Holy Spirit that is involved in him giving him to each and every member of the body of Christ. So this means that all the members of the body of Christ are engaged in the working of God's so great salvation. Each and every member of the body are co-workers together with him in whatever capacity. We'll see. There's been grace given to each and every one of the members of the body to perform this vital function in the building up of one another. So I say this again to your encouragement, that hear this. The saints are engaged in this working of the Lord. Have been. It has been determined by God before the foundations of the world that this would be the way he would build his church. And it continues to this day. While we acknowledge that the apostles of Jesus Christ are at the very forefront of this working through Christ's calling of them and provisions to them as the foundation, they are at the very forefront. They've been called into this working. They've been given provisions by the exalted Christ in this most high position. And they're working. They were faithful workers in this working of the Lord. But so are the ones that they minister to. Through their ministry, they called the individual members into this working. Now, some of these workers are named individuals in the Scripture. Paul, Silvanus, Timotheus. This is how he's beginning his epistle. They're named individuals. But there are many that are not named. The Apostle Paul will acknowledge entire assemblies that are engaged in the work. All of this is to show that not only are the saints engaged in this, that Jesus Christ himself, the exalted Christ, is fully engaged in this work of bringing many sons to glory. And as we have said before, it's not just a matter of bringing them through this present evil world, it's getting them ready for that which is to come.
Amen.
So we're being built as a habitation of God in the Spirit. See, we're talking about some high things here. And by His wisdom and by His grace, the saints are being brought into this great grand working of God, which is an eternal working of His. The church that Jesus is building is that assembly of saints of all generations, of all geographical locations, where the very fullness of Christ is being filled up. Okay. As it is written in the book of Ephesians, God hath put all things under His feet, under Christ's feet, and gave Him, Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. This is a grand declaration of what the church is about, of Christ's engagement in it unto the fulfilling of God's eternal purpose in getting Him ready for glory. Jesus, the exalted Christ, continues to fill His church with His fullness. This is what He's doing. He's building a church and He's filling him. He's talking about each and every one of the members here with His fullness. Jesus is imparting His very self and nature to the church. He's imparting His strength, His grace, His mercy, His love, His blessings, His riches, His power, His honor, His wisdom, and His glory. He's filling the church with His fullness. The exalted Christ has been made by God head over all things for the church, to grant them, each and every one, these most vital provisions to ready them all for the glory that is to come. This is the work that the apostle is engaged in the writing of these epistles to the saints, to make them aware of that which God is doing. And it's a glorious working. It's a mighty working. And he wants to encourage them in it, that they're engaged. They're all in part of what they've been called unto the Lord to be engaged in, be it individuals or entire assemblies. Mm-hmm. Now, throughout the epistles, we learn much about God's manner and ways and workings. There's divine provisions, divine givings of God that bring these things to pass. And they are effectual. It says they're effectually working in us that believe. They are working. And they're of a progressing and increasing nature. And they are given to produce in the entire body of Christ confidence and stability and involvement in the work. Now, Paul opened this up in his epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 4. And this is how he spoke of it. This is all coming from God the Father of all in verse 6, who is above all and through all and in you all. This is the glory of salvation here. That God, we're talking about God Himself, this one that is above all. He's above all, and He's through all, and He's in you all. And He says, unto every one of us is grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everyone. See, we can't, you know, if we say this grace hasn't come to us, well, you're denying the truth of the gospel. Because Paul is saying, and every one of us is grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Christ here, now we're talking, he's going to make this point about the exalted Christ. It's the exalted Christ that's giving us this measure of grace. Because he says, when he saith, he ascended up on high, he's talking about Jesus now at his ascension. What did he do? He led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Mm-hmm. And he points this to be to Jesus, saying that he ascended. What is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? So he's talking about Jesus and what he accomplished in the days of his flesh. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, here it is again, that he might fill all things. So basically what he's saying is Jesus is giving of himself to us, to the saints. Now some of these gifts, that he's going to mention very specific gifts, and notice that they are people. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Ephesians chapter 4.
Over here.
Gifts. See, these are unique gifts. He gives gifts of people. Prepared.
Right here.
Prepared. These are prepared gifts.
This is talking about the gifts where people...
And he's saying, for what purpose? There's a purpose. See, he does nothing without cause. God does nothing without purpose. So that even the very giving of these gifts of men and women are purposely. Verse 12 says, for, this is the purpose. Now he's talking about the purpose for the giving of these gifts. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. For, see this the gifts are given. They've been prepared as a prepared gift to effect that which they were given for. For the maturing of the saints. Mm-hmm. For their growth.
Right.
For their increase. Keep this in mind. It's for all of them. Mm-hmm. Not for a unique part of the body. It's for the entirety of the body.
Right.
All. Individually and collectively. For the work of the ministry. For them all to be engaged, and for their usage of that gift of grace that was given to them. That's what he said. Everyone has been given according to the measure of the gift of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
These ones, these apostles, you know, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, make the saints aware of this. You've all been given a measure of the gift of Christ himself. So it's to work that gift out. Work it out. Use it. Use that which was given unto you. These gifts were given for the edifying of the body of Christ. All of it. Every member. Each member. See, these lively stones are not only alive, but they are all part of what bringeth increase to the whole body. That's what shows we're alive in Christ, is that we are functioning into the measure of the grace that was given unto us. So for how long? How long do we have to do this? How long is this? Or is this just like a one-time event? Is this a one-time building up or perfecting or the work of ministry, edifying? Is this one time? Paul says, it's until, verse 13, until we all come in the unity of the faith. That's for how long this is going to take. Until we all come unto the knowledge, the full knowledge of the Son of God. Until we all are formed together unto a perfect man. Until each of the members of the body is grown up and matured in the measure of the fullness of Christ. See, it's until. See, this. So this speaks about something that's continuing on. It's continuing on until we reach that fullness. But this is where it's going to end up. Because remember, it's God who has begun this good work. And God is faithful and able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But he's working through his members of his body. This is the point Paul continues to make throughout his epistles here. All this progressing, all this increasing that Paul speaks about is vital to each and every member of his body, so that, verse 14, so that, see how it's flowing. We have the apostles bringing a very nice flow here of why the gifts are given, what the gifts are intended to do, or given to do.
Mm-hmm.
For what effect will it have? It's so that we will no more be children, so that we will grow up into Christ in all things, so that we will be no more tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, so that we, each of us, may speak the truth in love. See, there's a progression here. There's the giving of the things of Christ, the gifts of Christ to the church, the graces given for them to perform and execute these gifts. The people of God respond to this, to the message, and there's an effectualness. There's an effectualness that occurs right now. What he's talking about here, that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro, that's what he's talking about now. He's talking about now. We won't have this situation in the world to come. There's not going to be any false doctrine going on then. There's not going to be no enemies or adversaries. So he's talking about now. Mm-hmm. See, there's an effectualness that these ministries have to the saints now, so that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This is a wonderful salvation.
Amen.
It's a salvation that the saints of God are brought into the very working of God, each and every one, and it's not based on, if you will, talents that come from the earth.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not. Although it can be used, they can be used, but it's not. If you don't have this type of talent, you cannot be used in the kingdom. That's not the way it is in the kingdom of God. He brings you into it, and he'll take some like a beggar in the dust, or someone from the dunghill, and he'll raise them up to sit among princes. This is the working of the Lord. But see, the saints are engaged in this work as well.
Amen.
He makes this point as well as he talks about this body here he's talking about, that each member supplies to the others that grace was given to them, and as each member progresses and increases in their provisions, the body is fitly being joined together. That's how the body's being joined and compacted together, as every member is utilizing this grace that was given to him. And it makes us a more solid and compacted unit. Because this is and what flows from that is this continuance and perfecting of the saints, and of the work of ministry, and of the edifying of the body of Christ in love here. I'm going to declare, and this is my belief, that this is what the glorified Christ is doing right now. He's doing this in the body right now. He continues to do this work in his building of his church. He began this work right here, day of Pentecost, and he's continuing it on. He's building his church. The glorified Christ is absolutely vital in the building of this church, because as the scriptures reveal, Jesus is the one who is sanctifying it. And he is the one who is washing it with water by the word, purposely. See, it's all with this eternal purpose in mind. The reason he's doing this, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it be holy and without blemish. See, this is the work of the glorified Christ. This is a work that only the glorified Christ could do, can accomplish. This is one of the reasons why Jesus has been exalted to the right hand of the Majesty on high. Mm-hmm. To perform this very work, and he's doing it. We have a wonderful Savior.
Amen.
who is perfecting. He's perfecting his people. He's think about that. That you have no spot. He's talking about sin. You have nothing that would offend God. Consider that. You have nothing in you that would offend God. No wrinkle or any such thing. This is a work of the exalted Christ. Brethren, the building of this church is the most glorious and mighty working of God through Christ Jesus. And it's being manifested in his people.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul was given to know this. He not only was one called to make this known of our God and of his beloved Son, But also he was one used mightily to produce these kind of things in the church through his ministry, through the gospel which he preached, through the epistles which he wrote, to the encouragement he gave to the saints. So we want to make some conclusions here on these revelations of what God is doing through the exalted Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The exalted Christ now is going to use these ones that are believing the gospel. They're believing the gospel. These are the lively stones. These are the living stones now that are being built into this habitation of God. They're edifying one another. They're helping one another along the way. And so Paul knew this. Paul knew that this was the manner of the kingdom. And to those that, as he went around, as we're reading in the book of Acts, as he went around ministering to these ones, and they're hearing the gospel, and they're believing the gospel, and the saving of their souls, Paul, as this wise master builder, he would continue to be engaged with these ones. He never cut off from them throughout the entirety of his life. He heard about these ones. He ministered to these ones. He would appoint elders among them. He would pray earnestly and continually for them. He would determine to visit with them again. He would send godly brethren to minister to them. And he would write epistles unto them. See, Paul knew that the church needed all these resources in order that they all, each and every one, would obtain the salvation that's in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And so this epistle that we're going to begin to look in, this First Thessalonians epistle, is an example of this provision of the exalted Christ to the church through his apostle Paul unto this eternal purposed end.
Amen.
We want to see this as a provision of God through his exalted Christ to the church.
Amen.
This is the manner of the apostle. See, he was right in the midst of the will of God here. He was right in this working of God. He was of the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Paul being one of these. And so, knowing these things, after a church was founded, he knew the work there was not yet completed. Mm-hmm. There were still things to do. Mm-hmm. And so, we hear the testimony of Paul and those of like precious faith, what they were about. I want to point out a few things from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 14. This is in verse 20. This is when after he was stoned. He was stoned and left for dead. Was he dead? Well, it's very possible he was. Mm-hmm. But the very next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And what did they do when they got there? Verse 21. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, mm-hmm. where they had ministered. They've been there already. They ministered to them. Mm-hmm. What did they do there? They confirmed the souls of the disciples, and they exhorted them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now these are vital mm-hmm. to the saints to know this.
Amen.
And to partake of this. It's vital that we know it's through much tribulation we enter
Amen.
Into the kingdom.
Yes.
Amen.
Because if you don't know that and these tribulations come, what's this strange thing that's come upon me?
Yes. Amen.
See, now, and then doubt becomes a come in. Why is this happening to me? Mm-hmm. What's going on here? Where is your confidence? It's through much tribulation. See, so now with this knowledge, armed with this knowledge of the manner of the kingdom, when this tribulation comes upon us, that it becomes like a confirming work That I'm entering into the kingdom.
Amen.
That's why this tribulation is coming.
Amen.
But we gotta be built up. We gotta be confirmed. We gotta be exhorted to continue. See, these are not just things that they just did haphazardly. Paul, like I said, was one of one mind and one heart with the Lord Jesus Christ in building His church, mm-hmm. confirming and exhorting and continuing and entering through much tribulations. The saints it's vital for them to know these things. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to prepare. This still wasn't enough, if you will. Verse 23 says, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church, they had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." Mm-hmm. So they entrusted these ones unto the exalted Christ Himself to perform that good work that He's began in each and every one of them.
Amen.
See, we see this continuousness of the mind and the heart of the Apostle Paul in these things. A couple more I wanted to read from the Acts. This is from Acts chapter 15. Because we're going to see, it's not just the apostles. That's the point I want to make as we read on these things. Acts chapter 15, verse 36 says, "And some days after this, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do.'" Okay? So we have the Apostle Paul now, and there's this one named Barnabas who's also engaged in this. They're going, they want to go visit the saints, not just mm-hmm. like on a vacation. They want to see how they're progressing in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And like he said in the book of Romans, he desired to come unto them that he might impart some spiritual mm-hmm. gift unto them. Mm-hmm. So he's coming with an intent. Back all of this according to what he wrote in Ephesians. It's to perfect these saints, mm-hmm. to get them involved in the work of the ministry, uh-huh. to edify them, to build them up. See, this is a continuing manner of Paul's ministry and those who were like-minded with him. In verse 40, Paul chose Silas and departed. He was recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, what? Confirming the churches. Mm-hmm. This is what the apostle continued to do. It was not just for a season, it was for the entirety of his ministry. A couple more I wanted to read from Acts chapter 18. This is verse 22. This is after he left Ephesus. It says when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up, he saluted the church and he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. There he is again, see? He's returning with the message, with the gospel. This is what Paul carried with him at all times. He carried the gospel of Jesus Christ. This was the means of building up the saints and strengthening the saints. And one more, in the 20th chapter, we have this record. There were things that, you know, he caused uproars where he went. As you know, this wasn't just all wonderful times. There were those that opposed him wherever he went. And it usually was the non-believing Jews, because the Gentiles heard his word for the most part and received it gladly. And now, in verse chapter 20, he says, after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples, and he embraced them, and departed to go into Macedonia. Again, this is Macedonia again. He was already there. He's going back again. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came unto Greece, and there abode 3 months. And the Jews laid wait for him. As he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return, through Macedonia. So he's got these assemblies in his mind, mm-hmm. and in his heart throughout his journeying, in order to build them up, mm-hmm. to strengthen them. And again, all this is shown to be absolutely needful and vital. And it's not just into the times of the days of the Acts. He's showing you the manner of the kingdom here that is necessary for all saints as we journey, even us as we journey through a land that lieth in wickedness. Mm-hmm. This is the way it is ordained of God, but it's producing. See, it's producing things that glorify God. That the things that God has provided are effectual. They're effectually working. Amen. We're going to see the fullness of this when we're in glory. When we'll know it better by and by, right, sister? Mm-hmm. See, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith, is not only given us while we are in a world that lieth in wickedness, but while we are journeying through this, our faith must grow and increase in a hostile land. Among enemies without and fears within, where there are all types of adversaries about us, even opposing, think about this, there's opposing thoughts and ideas that are all around us. We're encumbered, if not moment by moment, daily, with ideas and thoughts. We just, the things that we hear, things that pop into our head, see, these are, and they're all opposing. For the most part, they're all opposing us.
Amen.
But we've been given grace. See, we've got a great high priest, and we've got a king that is set upon his holy hill of Zion, and he is the only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is ruling and reigning.
Amen.
And he's ministering. He's made all types of provisions for us to overcome these things, and it'll all be to his glory. It'll be shown that when, as we overcome, it'll be shown to his glory that it was the Lord that did it. But he did it through his people.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I've shared with you on the Lord's Day, you know, how that just some things that Brother Bill has said, and Brother Bob, and Brother Gene Hutchcraft, like Brother Bill made a couple years ago at a Lord's table, he said, let us press through the crowd of whatever sort they be, that we may touch the hem of Christ's garment. Mm-hmm. And Brother Bob said, hope will dominate so long as we keep imbibing Jesus. And Brother Gene Hushcraft, he said last week, he said, one thing we do know about God is that he is able to save, he wants to save, and he is righteous. Mm. And I'll just tell you, those things have sustained me. I just tell you that just those words I've mixed them together with the scriptures, but I'll tell you that, you know, just in the midst of conflict and trial, you know, it's just like you're just taking of the tree of life or the water of life, and you're splashing it against your soul. It's just
Amen. That's good. Amen. And what we're basically saying, we're affirming the very things that Paul is teaching us, that in order for each and every one of the saints to overcome here, we must be regularly admonished, exhorted, edified, and comforted. Like the very things you just shared there. And we're gonna see it. This is what the Apostle Paul did. This is what he did. We have his testimony, if you will, of his manner of life being recorded for us. Mm-hmm. But the point I want to make too is that he didn't just do this to the Church of the Thessalonians, but it's to the Church of all generations, all locales. You think about it, that's how powerful what he was given by the Lord.
Yeah.
It could pass all boundaries that the world could put up.
Amen.
Time, space, location. This was a powerful gift that the Lord gave us in the Apostle Paul. But here's a point I want to make to you as well. The Apostle Paul had helpers with him. Mm-hmm. 1 Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. Mm-hmm. The provision, I want to encourage you in this, that this provision is of people.
Amen.
It's of saints. Mm-hmm. They're helpers of the Lord. And they are all very integral parts of the kingdom and of his working. Remember, when Abraham was called forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, it is said Lot went with him. A companion. It was a companion for Abraham. A provision of the Lord. When David's life was sought after by Saul and by the Philistines, there was provided him helpers of the war. 1 Chronicles 12:1. And as you read that text, they were able helpers. They were provided. They were enabled to help. You could be called a helper, but not be able to help. These helpers were able to help.
Amen.
When Daniel was taken into captivity of Babylon, into a land where even the language wasn't known by him, the Lord provided him with three like-minded companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Yes, even the man Christ Jesus in the days of his flesh had his apostles to be with him, of whom Jesus said in John 17:6, which the Father gave him out of the world. These were, if you will, handpicked of God to be his companions with him in the days of his flesh. And Paul had this wonderful provision accorded him by the Lord. You know, in virtually every one of his epistles, Paul names by names these ones. They were truly brethren. They were fellows. They were companions. And they were helpers. All true descriptions of the members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Both then and now. The Lord, the exalted Christ, has not cut off this provision from his people.
Amen.
Of companions. Of fellows, of helpers. See, the new covenant is a covenant of closeness and nearness.
Amen.
To God first and foremost. But as a provision, and I say a most needed provision, is among the members of the body of Christ, he gives us one another. In his epistles, just you can check this out, in all his epistles, Paul does not hesitate to name those names, to recognize those who labored in the kingdom of God and of his Christ. He would acknowledge them as fellows and as companions and helpers, and he recognized something about them. They were a gift of God, and he thanked God for these ones. He thanked the Lord Jesus Christ for such a provision to him. In Romans, the 16th chapter, there are 27 specific individuals that are named, in addition to their households, in addition to their mothers, in addition to other brethren that were with them and other saints. So there was others. It wasn't just these 27 individuals. There was others that were not named. And this is how the apostle notes of these very ones in truth. I say that in truth. This is how he names them. Like one is called our sister. One is called a succorer of many and of myself also. This is the apostle Paul saying this. He recognized this of this provision of God who helped many. And Paul says, they've helped me too. He speaks of them as these helpers for whom I give thanks. He recognized his need for these helpers. And he recognized them as being a provision of the Lord, and he gave him thanks for them. He says, these are well beloved. These are ones who bestowed much labor on us, on the saints. Much labor on the saints. He called them fellow prisoners. And laborers in the Lord. And these are the ones his epistle is directed to. Keep that in mind. He sent this Romans epistle to these ones. These saints, these laborers, these helpers, these brethren. This should tell us something of the need of such one to continue in the grace given them by God. Paul is very aware of this need, and he is, because he was one who needed it also. And as a wise master builder with his Lord, the exalted Christ of God, he continued in this most needful ministry to the saints. And then at the close of chapter 16 of Romans, Paul identifies also them that are with him. So it's these ones that are with him are sending this epistle to these ones that are named in the church at Rome. He sends their greetings to the saints at Rome. And this is how he identifies these in truth. These are work fellows. They're fellows in the work. They're kinsmen. And I don't think he's talking about according to the flesh. He's talking about them being joined with mind and heart in this very labor of the Lord. They're like-minded. They're kinsmen. He speaks of them as being hosts. There are those who hosted them, put them up, cared for their needs. See? These are brothers. When Paul talks like that, he's talking about these ones in truth. He's not just making up names for them. This is how they appeared to him, how they manifested their ministries to the Apostle Paul. See, these are truly Paul's companions, his brethren, his helpers, but not only to him, but to one another as well. They all were a blessing and a provision of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul and to each other, to help, to succor, to fellowship, and God be thanked for each and every one. Paul was not amiss in thanking the Lord for this great provision that he gave them. Amen. He announces this in the very first verse of the epistle to the Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. Again, this is not unique in this epistle. This is the manner of Paul's ministration to the church. Remember, he is writing these epistles to the churches. These are to the believers. These are to the ones that are engaged in the good fight of faith. These are the ones that are laying hold on eternal life in the midst of tribulation. Because it's through much tribulation you must enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now I want to mention just one more. This was written by Paul to the church that was at Corinth. And we know what some of the things that were going on at Corinth. Dan's ministering there. But they needed to hear these things too. They needed to be chastened. There was good reason for being chastened, but that's not all Paul did. He built them up. After, if you will, wounded them, he gave them the healing balm. See? Mm-hmm. Preached the good news of the gospel. He wanted them to know that they were saints and that there were saints among them. Mm-hmm. And that they were all integral to the working of the body of Christ. There were ones who were engaged with the Lord and through the Lord in the building of his church. They were workers together with him. And I want to say, these ones that we're going to look at here, as we looked at in Romans, the 16th chapter, they weren't apostles. They were not the apostles, as noted. We're talking about as the foundation that he talked about. But they were built upon that foundation, with Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Okay. And I want to see the glory of Christ, the exalted Christ, working in them, in the provisions of Christ for the church. It's a glorious working of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I say this to your encouragement and to your edification, that this is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. This is from 1 Corinthians 16, the close of the 1 Corinthians epistle, where again, He will name names. Now, as you study through some of these names throughout his epistles, some are spoken of many times. Timotheus is one. Remember, Timotheus, he picked up along the way, so to speak, as he was traveling to Philippi, and he became one with the apostle and with the Lord Jesus Christ in his manner of building up the church. And here, pick up in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, is he's encouraging his people. 13, he says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Be strong in the faith. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house," I want to tell you about this one, "you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints."
Amen.
Now that in itself, to have not only a person, Stephanas, but his entire household being like-minded. And now think about the wisdom of God in doing this. This household was the first fruits of Achaia.
Amen.
In other words, he established brethren there that had an addiction to the ministry of the saints. So this, if you will, the church was established on those who had a desire to minister to the saints. This is the wisdom of God here, working here in this manner. Sister Karen and I and Brother Richard were talking earlier about this manner of Achaia was brought up. And I looked at it. It's a land just below Macedonia. So as Paul was coming through Macedonia, Philippi and Thessalonica, he would come into the next region of Corinth and Athens, which at that time was called Achaia. So here's the first ones that come to the knowledge of the truth. They had an addiction to the ministry of the saints, so that Paul could leave there and look who was there. This was the Lord placing them in this very area for this very purpose. And when you think about this word addiction, he says they were addicted. They addicted themselves. See, they're engaged in this.
Mm-hmm.
They addicted themselves. That's a most powerful word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you check it out, it's the only time it's used in the Scripture. And in our day, when you think about addiction, it has a negative connotation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not here. Not here. It's a powerful word that was spoken by the Holy Ghost about these ones, Stephanas and the house of Stephanas. They were addicted. They had this desire. It describes him and his house, of his will and of his family. What does that mean? His house is how big is that house? Was it his family, his relatives, his servants, all that dwelled there? Who knows? It doesn't say, but. And think about it, it's more than just the Stephanas. It's his house. All that dwell with him. It's a glorious provision of the exalted Christ to the members of the body there. Not only to the apostle, but to all the saints. They were addicted to the ministry of the saints.
Amen.
Verse 16 now engages the saints under these, that you submit yourselves unto such ones. See, this, Christ has put him there for a reason. Your part, saints, submit yourselves to these ones. And to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. See, it's one body.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it's one body. And the provisions that God gives as apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, there's a, if you will, a rule to the rest. You submit yourselves to them. I've given you them as a gift.
Amen.
Submit yourselves to them. To everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Now as he continues here in verse 17, there's an effect. Now here's the Apostle Paul. We have to realize the Apostle Paul was a man. He was a man. He suffered things. He rejoiced in things. He was blessed by things. He was troubled by things. And here he says, "I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus." I was glad. The apostles, these ones, if you will, enlightened, or not enlightened, but enlivened the very heart and mind of the Apostle Paul by their coming. And there's a good reason for it, because he knew these ones. That which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Amen. And you can check it out in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about the names of the apostles. You will not find Stephanus, Fortunatus, or Achaeus. They're not there. They're not the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ in that sense. But here they are ministering. They're supplying that which was lacking. These ones came and they filled it. This is all we want to see. We want to see this is all under the auspices of the exalted Christ.
Amen.
In bringing this all to pass. And we want to see also of Christ's desire to build his church.
Mm-hmm.
He's supplying all these ones. And in like the helpers of the war, they are able to help. They're enabled. Mm-hmm. Christ has enabled them to be helpers.
Mm-hmm.
Christ has enabled them to be suppliers. Christ has enabled them to be succorers of the church.
Mm-hmm.
This is all a working that's under the heading of the exalted and glorified Christ,
mm-hmm.
who's been given to the church to be the head.
Mm-hmm.
Now Paul says that they've helped the church. They've helped the church at Corinth. And here's something else that they've done. Verse 18. Now this is Paul speaking of himself. They have refreshed my spirit in yours. Mm-hmm. These are noted, if you will, refreshers of the spirit. Isn't that good to be known as? You're a refresher of the spirit of the saints.
Amen.
Paul's acknowledging he needed this. And here we're seeing this, the provision of the exalted Christ to the apostle, and not only to the apostle, but to all the saints. To have those, think about that. He's supplied, he's given those who are able to supply our need in the assembly. That's what he's talking about, in the midst of the church. God raises up people. He's still doing it. Jesus is building his church, and this is some of the manners by which he's doing it. And I'll say it. I'm seeing this. I'm thankful for this. I thank the Lord for you all, because you are all part of this. We're all part of this. They have refreshed my spirit and yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in truth that we can say this of one another at various times throughout our fellowship, of
Amen.
Our companioning together,
yes,
of our laboring together in the Word, that we have partaken of these very kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
The things that were lacking, a brother or a sister came along and filled it for us.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time when we needed to be refreshed. There were those the Lord raised up to refresh us.
Amen.
And here's the point I want to finish with. Therefore, he says, acknowledge ye them that are such.
Amen. Okay?
It's not only an acknowledgement. And I think of that this is a recognition, but it's also a thanking the Lord for them.
Amen.
Yeah.
You thank the Lord that this when this brother or sister refreshed us, this was the Lord's doing.
Mm-hmm.
This was the Lord's. But we want to recognize them and thank them
mm-hmm.
for being faithful in that ministry of the grace that was given them according to the gift of Christ. They utilized it.
Yeah.
They utilized it, and it was effective.
Amen.
See, it doesn't return void. When you use it, it doesn't return void. These are ones that are named. They're named in the scriptures. And we're seeing their name for good reason. But there's others that are not named. Large numbers, groups, assemblies. But that doesn't mean they're not known by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that they're not vital to the kingdom of the Lord. They all are. They all are used in this manner. They're most notable saints. They're brothers and sisters in the Lord. They're companions, they're helpers. But I also want to remind you that this is the manner and the power of the exalted Christ being made known mm-hmm. in building his church even to this day. It's continuing. He's continuing to build his church.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And he's performing that good work which he has begun in each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. And to each of you, I want to say, I do acknowledge you before God and before his Son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for your faith. I thank you for your help. I thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your times of ministry. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to close with how the apostle closed this wonderful epistle. He says, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
It was wonderful to see that this the manner of Christ working and building his church, that there's no useless parts of the body. All the parts of the body are absolutely vital into this building up in order for us to all be filled with the fullness of God. See, this is the only way it can be done. It's a divine working according to his divine provisions. And that's what the saints are. The saints are divine provisions one to another. Closing word of prayer, sister, please.
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for being with us and us and among us, and for the words that Brother Mike has brought to us this night.
Amen.
Father,
amen.
The fellowship in your Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen.
Mm-hmm. Praise you for these good times, Lord.
Amen.
We can look back and see mm-hmm. how much you have helped us, how you have led us,
yes, amen.
Worked with us mm-hmm. because of these brethren, as Brother Mike brought out. From 1 Thessalonians.
Mm-hmm.
We are what we are partly because of them, and we thank you for them.
Yes, amen.
We ask that you would go with each of us this night, Father, mm-hmm. prepare us for the Lord's Day, that we may
yes.
have good fruit to bring to you. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.